The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, here we go. Welcome to a new week. Yeah, our week starts on Tuesday around here, so welcome to it. I am Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com through the magic of digital audio on the Progressive Voices Network, Tuesday through Friday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern. I come to you more depressed than usual today. You know, there's the regular depression that I just battle with on a daily basis. But last night, I don't know what I was watching. One of the cable news shows, and they showed Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon outside what used to be a Walmart supercenter in Texas, a facility now housing upwards of 1,000 or so children who either entered the country alone. Remember when that was going on for a while? Or more recently, entered with their parent or parents, and were taken away from them, and the parents are sent to one detention facility, and the kids are put in this place. Jeff Merkley tweeted, "The White House is attacking me because their cruel policy of stealing children from parents has no defense. They continue to hide what's happening in the detention centers. Americans deserve to know how innocent children are being traumatized in their name and with taxpayer dollars." So Jeff Merkley went down to Texas. Before he went, his staff tried to arrange for a tour of one of these centers, and his requests went unheeded. And so he went anyway. And at the door to the facility, there is a phone number listed on a piece of paper for the supervisor. So he called and he asked if he could have a tour. And who would have thought? The police showed up. Right. The police showed up and basically made him leave. He was there for about a half hour. He did it on Facebook Live. It's there. If you look up, just Google Jeff Merkley and it'll come up for you. It's sickening. I mean, to the core, sickening. Donald Trump, I believe this morning, tweeted, Separating families at the border is the fault of bad legislation passed by the Democrats. Border security laws should be changed, but the Dems can't get their act together. Started the wall. Started the wall? Fuck you. He didn't start the wall because you don't have the money to start the wall. Where the hell did that come from? But the rest of it is flat-out bullshit. Separating families at the border is the fault of bad legislation passed by the Democrats? Border security laws should be changed, but the Dems can't get their act together. This man lies with such ease that it's frightening, because that's the sign of a sociopath, somebody who lies with no compunction, no difficulty at all. I know when I lie, there are tells. Donald Trump just does it as part of his regular practice. Well, Jake Tapper responded to that tweet, and he said, "We partnered with factcheck.org to examine this claim. It's a lie. Here's our work." So, Jake Tapper, take it away.
Uh-oh.
Hey, everybody, it's Jake Tapper from CNN State of the Union and factcheck.org. This week, there's been a lot in the news about families of undocumented immigrants coming into the United States and being separated at the border. One report suggesting that the U.S. government lost track of 1,500 children that were part of these families that were separated at the border. So we want to take a look at a charge President Trump made that this problem and this policy is the fault of Democrats. The president made this claim at a roundtable on so-called sanctuary cities last week at the White House. Take a listen.
We have to break up families. The Democrats gave us that law.
No.
It's a horrible thing. We have to break up families.
Such
a lie. The Democrats gave us that law, and they don't want to do anything about it. They'll leave it like that because they don't want to make any changes. And now you're breaking up families because of the Democrats. It's terrible.
Is that true? Did Democrats give us this law
No.
that forces the families of undocumented immigrants to be separated at the border?
No.
No.
Thank you.
That's not true.
Not true.
Before President Trump took office, many of these families were either processed and released as a family with notice to appear before an immigration court, or they were held in family detention centers together, according to the Bipartisan Policy Center. But in May 2018, the Trump administration announced that all families, all individuals caught entering the United States illegally would be referred to federal prosecutors for criminal charges. Now, under that new plan, a Department of Homeland Security spokesperson says the parents would be placed in detention centers while the children would go to separate juvenile facilities or potentially foster care if they did not have an adult relative in the United States who could take them in. So what law that the Democrats gave us is President Trump referring to when he says the Democrats gave us this law
Good
that
question.
Forces families to be separated, children mm-hmm. and parents to be separated? Well, we asked the White House and they referred us to a Department of Homeland Security statement.
Okay.
The statement outlines a 1997 legal settlement that says the Department of Homeland Security can hold children for only 20 days pending their immigration cases, as well as a 2008 human trafficking law that says unaccompanied minors from countries other than Mexico and Canada must be placed in the care of the Office of Refugee Resettlement or with relatives in the United States while they go through removal proceedings. So first, that 1997 legal settlement, that's obviously nothing that the Democrats gave us. It's
nope.
a legal settlement.
Yep.
Now, the 2008 law, that was passed by the Congress by unanimous consent and was signed into law by George W. Bush, who was
George
the president
W. Bush.
In 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't require families to be split apart at the border, though it does limit where and how long the government can hold these children. In fact, experts say that the Trump administration's decision to hold the parents for criminal charges instead of releasing them along with their children is ultimately what will result in the separation of even more families. So, to be clear, neither of the legal examples that the White House gave us forces the Trump administration to separate parents from their children when caught
nope.
at the border. Not at all.
Not
and
at all.
And we're still waiting for any evidence that this is a law that the Democrats gave us, forcing the Trump administration's hand. As of now, we have no evidence that that's the case. A reminder to all you politicians out there, you're perfectly entitled to your own opinions, but not to your own facts. I'm Jake Tapper for CNN State of the Union.
You know, we need more of that. So Jake Tapper, CNN, teams up with factcheck.org to fact check Dump's lie that the Democrats are responsible for this new policy, what he's calling a law. There is no such law that separates immigrant children from their parents when they come seeking asylum. I mean, the ones who are doing it quite legally, they're not trying to cross the border in the dead of night, climb the fence. There is no wall. But to do it legally, to follow the procedures set forth to seek asylum in what used to be a welcoming nation. Send us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Remember that? I'm so embarrassed for our country. To the rest of the world, I so sincerely apologize. This is not who we are as a people. We've been hijacked. by some real sick fucks. It's the only way I can put it. Since Laffy's here today, I'm going by some tweets here. Ed Krasenstein, who tweets at Ed Krasen, tweeted out 3 hours ago, breaking, the United Nations Human Rights Office just demanded that the Trump administration, quote, immediately halt the practice of separating families and stop criminalizing what should be at most an administrative offense, end quote. Do I need to read it again? The United Nations Human Rights Office just demanded that the Trump administration immediately halt the practice of separating families and stop criminalizing what should at most be an administrative offense. He adds on, note, the Trump administration started this, not Obama. There's so much more insanity going on since we last spoke. But this is the most heartbreaking of all. And as a, you know, as a mom, there's more from Laffy in the chat room. Should policy of separating families to control migration unlawful and violates the rights of the child? This comes from the United Nations. Problem is, the United Nations is sort of like a toothless organization, and I don't know what enforcement powers they have. But come on, Nikki Haley, stand up for the organization you represent us to. Right, that'll happen. Again, there's so much more insanity going on that we'll get through it in Laffy's tweet spot. So, because there's a lot to talk about today. But boy, think of those kids. And Jeff Merkley, U.S. Senator, goes down there, can't get in. And the cop, the illiterate cop who's taking down his information, is writing down his name. Can you spell that? Merkley had to spell it like three times. And then he said, U.S. Senator, Jeff Merkley, you're a U.S. Senator? Yeah, moron. He's a U.S. Senator. And he was made to leave the premises. I mourn for the United States of America. I really do. I think I told this story a while ago. I used to have a listener. I don't know if he's still around or not. I got it. My computer has crashed since I think I last spoke to him, and I lost all my email addresses. Hopefully I still have it. But I had, or hopefully have, a listener in the Netherlands. Robert was his name, is his name. And for a long time, he really supported this program. I mean, he supported it financially in a big way. And one day I asked him, you know, I said, I so appreciate your help. I wouldn't survive if not for you, but can I ask why? And he said, I'm out here in the Netherlands and I'm watching the United States, and it used to be such a, you know, such a this great I'm trying to think of the words he used and I can't, but a wonderful model for the rest of the world, who did good for the rest of the world, and now I'm seeing it, you know, sort of backsliding into something not so good, not so helpful. And he said, your voice is so important that I want to make sure, you know, it can stay on the air and you can keep getting out there. He said, I could give to a politician, but I think it's more important to amplify your voice. So thank you to Robert in the Netherlands and to everybody who supports this show, because I say it all the time. You know, I really can't do it without you. To Melissa and Marie out in California, to, a list of names that I can't read right now, but you know who you are. And if I don't say it enough, please know how much I appreciate your support. NicoleSandler.com/donate is where you can get the details on how to support the program. I can't do it without you. I'm just one person. But our voices are dwindling away rapidly. There are just like a handful of us still doing this, it seems. And while our country is descending into a hellhole, so we got to keep speaking up and speaking out for what's right. All right. We'll do that with Gotta Laugh. We'll take a quick break. We'll check out today's What's News and come back with Laffy next on The Nicole Sandler Show.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Paul Manafort may end up spending the rest of his time awaiting trial behind bars. Special counsel Robert Mueller's team filed a late-night motion in federal court accusing Manafort of witness tampering and asking a judge to revoke his bail. Rachel Maddow had the breaking news Monday night.
The special counsel has just filed a motion tonight in federal court in Washington, D.C., where Trump's campaign chair, Paul Manafort, is awaiting trial on multiple felony charges, from bank fraud to money laundering to failure to register as a foreign lobbyist. Paul Manafort's trial is set to begin in Virginia this summer. His D.C. trial is set to begin in September. He's been out on bail. Basically, he's been on sort of a version of house arrest, waiting for those trials to start. But tonight, in this filing, Robert Mueller, the special counsel's office, has told the court that Paul Manafort has violated the conditions of his release. According to the special counsel's office, Manafort has attempted to tamper with potential witnesses for his upcoming trial. The prosecutors are alleging in this filing that after he was hit with a second round of indictments in February, Manafort appears to have contacted former business associates, people who may have been party to some of the activity that the special counsel has been investigating and that the special counsel has charged against him. These are potential witnesses in the Mueller investigation or for Manafort's trial. According to prosecutors tonight, Manafort contacted those witnesses by phone and also by using an encrypted messaging service. According to prosecutors, one witness Manafort allegedly contacted has told the special counsel that, at least from the witness's point of view, these calls and messages from Manafort were clearly an effort by Manafort to, quote, suborn perjury, essentially to coach these other people to falsely answer questions from the special counsel in order to help Manafort's case. So prosecutors in this surprise filing tonight, they say that this behavior from Manafort, it violates the terms of his release. They are asking the judge to revise the terms on which he has been released or to revoke those terms entirely. In plain English, that means that what prosecutors are asking this judge for tonight, they're asking the judge to consider revoking Manafort's bail. They're asking the judge to consider putting Paul Manafort in jail while he awaits trial.
Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, stepped in it on Sunday when he claimed the president had the right to pardon himself.
Do you and the president's attorneys believe the president has the power to pardon himself?
He's not, but he probably does. I mean, he has no intention of pardoning himself, but he probably does. Doesn't say he can't. I mean, that's another really interesting constitutional argument. Can the president pardon himself?
I think it's an open question?
I used to run the pardon attorney. It would be an open question. I think it would probably get answered by, gosh, that's what the Constitution says, and if you want to change it, change it. But, yeah.
Donald Trump himself backed up that assertion Monday morning by tweeting, "As has been stated by numerous legal scholars, I have the absolute right to pardon myself. But why would I do that when I have done nothing wrong?" The White House also seems to have gotten its wires crossed over the president's dictating a statement on behalf of Don Jr. regarding that infamous Trump Tower meeting in June 2016. MSNBC's Brian Williams has more.
We're also learning important details about the initial White House statement, the response to the news of that Trump Tower meeting in 2016 that contradict previous statements from Trump's legal team and Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Now, according to this letter obtained by the New York Times, Trump's lawyers write, quote, "You have received all of the notes, communications, and testimony indicating that the president dictated a short but accurate response to the New York Times article on behalf of his son, Donald Trump Jr. But last summer, Trump lawyer Jay Sekulow and Sarah Huckabee Sanders said President Trump did not dictate or draft that statement.
The president did not draft the response. The response came from Donald Trump Jr., and I'm sure in consultation with his lawyer. I do want to be clear that the president was not involved in the drafting of the statement and did not issue the statement. It came from Donald Trump Jr., so that's what I can tell you.
He certainly didn't dictate, but, you know, he weighed in, offered suggestion like any father would do.
Well, during today's White House press briefing, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was repeatedly asked about her previous comment on the drafting of this statement.
What's the reason for that discrepancy?
Like you said, this is from a letter from the outside counsel, and I direct you to them to answer that question.
I wonder if you could tell us the basis of your comment when you made that in August, and do you think that still stands? Is that still an operative statement, or do you retract that?
Once again, this is a reference back to a letter from the outside counsel. I understand, but it's also pertaining to a letter from the president's outside counsel, and therefore I can't answer, and I would direct you to them.
How can we believe what you're saying from the podium if the lawyers are saying it's entirely inaccurate?
Good Once question. Again, I can't comment on a letter from the president's outside counsel. I direct you to them to answer.
Trump on Monday abruptly announced the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles would not visit the White House on Tuesday, citing the team's participation in national anthem protests. Fewer than 10 members of the team were planning on attending. Tuesday is primary day in California, Iowa, Montana, New Jersey, Alabama, Mississippi, South Dakota, and New Mexico. Get out and vote. I got voted. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com. And now, it's time for The Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Oh, it is Tuesday, and you know what that means. We get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh, and we try to laugh. Some days it's harder than others. These days, increasingly more difficult, but we do our best. So let's get Laffy on the line.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
You've reached the Trump's Comically Giant Envelope Hotline.
Okay.
Press 1 if you think Trump was so excited about the giant envelope from Kim Jong-un because, well, he thought it was an invitation to pardon himself. Press 2 if you think the giant envelope was, surprise, where Melania has been hiding all along.
Could be, yes.
Melanie. Press 3 if you think the giant envelope was really a regular size envelope that just looked big because Trump's hands are so tiny.
Tiny, tiny hands.
Tiny little hands.
Do you think Jong-un did that on purpose, sent a big envelope to make his hands look even smaller by comparison?
Or to make him look smaller. Yeah. I mean, this thing was, it looked like one of those Toy Story, like, you know, when what's her name, Alice in Wonderland got real tiny and everything else got real big. Mm-hmm. I think he did it to make it look embarrassing and comical and have Trump look smaller by comparison. I don't know about his hands.
Right.
But him.
I guess. You know, the other weird thing is he didn't open it right away and read the letter, right? So, and then when he went outside and took some questions from the press, he was talking about what a magnificent letter it was, what a great letter it was. And then in the same breath, like 2 minutes later, he admitted that he hadn't yet read the letter.
He was so stupid.
He's such a liar. He just, the lies just flow effortlessly from his mouth.
I mean, really stupid. It took 9 minutes, I think, before he said, you know, yeah, and I didn't read it.
Oh, it was 9 minutes. Okay. I know it was in that same, you know,
that's
press
somebody
gaggle,
said on,
right?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe it was less, but I thought somebody said that on the air, but whatever. It didn't even matter. It could have been 1 minute. It could have been 10 minutes. He lied. And he makes everything sounds so important so that he seems so important. And then when he thinks everybody forgets, or if he forgets, he just comes out with something else.
Yeah, just makes it up. And that's why he has no problem accusing the press of making shit up, because he makes shit up regularly, and it's
and
no big
that
deal
happened
to him.
Today. Right. That happened today with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Huckabee S, as I call
what
her.
Now?
And I'm going to read you. I'm going to read you some tweets from today's Huckabee S White House lying session. At the end of my today's tweets, and then we'll go to yesterday. So you want to jump into it?
Okay, let's do it. Let's release the birdies.
Welcome to my tweets.
All right, Laffy. So what's happening on the Twitters?
All right. Well, on the note where we just left off, this was sent out by, I don't know how to say it, Chichi Plus. That's how it is. I was looking for a French word there. Chichi Plu. But it's Chichi Plus, and it's a random follower. And she said, borrowed this yesterday, and it's a meme or some kind of a graphic of White House announces new automated press briefing system. The Sarah Sanders wild and wonderful White House wheel of whoppers, worthlessness and waste of time, press briefomatic. And what it is like one of those big wheels that you spin and it goes click, click, click. Uh-huh. Okay, so each one of them is one of her stock answers. So I'm just going to read them.
Okay.
And they're all different colors, and it's all, you know, it looks exactly like you think of, like a carnival wheel would look.
Sure.
That is under discussion now. That hasn't been proven yet. I refer you to legal counsel.
Uh-huh.
Look, we've been over and over that.
Look.
Oh, just shut up, Acosta. you'll have to figure it out. I have to turn my head to look at these. I'm sorry, just a second. I've answered that 100 times.
Uh-huh.
You guys are fake media. We haven't discussed that. We'll have something on that soon.
Mm-hmm.
I have not asked the president.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not what I said. And that is under discussion now.
Wow.
So perfect.
It is
so
perfect because they're so real. But I'll have to refer you to outside counsel. You have to add that
one. Yes. Yes. Well, that I covered in later tweets.
Right.
Absolutely. Okay. So what is this? Oh, so you, I don't remember if you touched on this or not, but Pennsylvania eighth graders are going to be gifted bulletproof backpack plates as they prepare to head to high school next year.
Yep, I saw that.
Saw that. And VFR Dave says, so it's now admitted guns are the problem.
Hmm. Yeah, the NBC Washington tweeted, all eighth graders at a Pennsylvania school were given a bulletproof safe shield insert for their backpacks as a graduation present. David Hogg retweeted
that note. Go ahead and read it.
To my fellow young people, we will not let this be our kids' graduation present.
Right. Thank you. Unbelievable. Okay, so then under the same headline, the eighth grader headline, Chadwick Furr, just another random follower, how do bulletproof backpacks protect kids against video games, lack of school prayer, and too many doors? You know, the things that Republicans claim are actually responsible for school shootings.
Good question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just so stupidly obvious how wrong they are about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to get to the California primary, I have a couple of tweets from Mark Baraback, who is with the LA Times.
Okay.
He's a non-Academy Award-winning LA Times political writer, as he says it. And I wanted to read this because there has been so much a brouhaha from the press, from the mainstream media kind of TV, you know, concentrating on, oh my God, it's the jungle primary. How are the Democrats going to ever pull one off if they have so many candidates, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, all
mm-hmm.
this hand-wringing. And he says, some perspective amid all the heavy breathing over California's top two primary. Even if Dems got shut out in all three seats they're nervous about, there are still scores of competitive races across the country. Control of the House will not be decided tonight in Fullerton. Thank you very much.
Right.
And then he goes on to say, so what's been California's past experience with top two? Per the esteemed Gary South, we've had 459 contests since it took effect in 2012. There has been precisely one instance in which a party was shut out of a race it could, should have won, assuming, because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes on about how to break it all down, but it gets boring. So it just took a little of that sting away from, oh my God, what's going to happen? You know, that people are screaming about on TV right now.
But that jungle primary thing really was not a good idea.
Oh no, right. I totally agree.
And
with
the way
that.
It works, it's, for those who don't understand, is the top two vote getters, regardless of their party, go on to the general election. So you could have conceivably two Democrats or two Republicans. And what the problem is in especially like Dana Rohrabacher's seat, there are a plethora of Democrats. There's a ridiculous number of Democrats running and only like two or three Republicans. So if the Democrats split the votes, they're saying it could conceivably just be two Republicans who get through to the general giving, you know, shutting the Democrats out, which could happen.
You just wanted to say plethora.
Yes, I'm using the big words today.
No, but that's true. But I think why he came in and said that, he wasn't saying that the people who were reporting on this are wrong, like you
right.
just you explained it really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he picked up on what I was picking up on, too, as I'm watching the news all morning, getting really annoyed at the concentration, the focus of the press, and blowing this up into a thing that it might not necessarily be. It could be.
Could be.
But why don't they make this a more objective?
Well, the thing is, I mean, it's a shitty system for the voting in California, and
yes.
just really, bad on the people of California for voting this in,
yes.
Yes. because Dana Rohrabacher's seat should be an easy flip. Daryl Issa's seat, which
right.
he's not running for re-election, but that should be an easy flip. And that's another one where there's this problem of too many Democrats running, where they could cancel each other out and just, give a clear path for the Republicans.
Right. And if they explained it like that and they reported it like that, I would say, yeah, that's a really good discussion to have.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they're saying, well, are the Democrats going to lose? Is all this buildup of the blue wave, is it just for nothing after these jungle primary? It's just done so stupidly. It's not reported
right.
properly.
And we should also mention, in addition to California, it's primary day in Iowa, Montana, New Jersey, Alabama, Mississippi, South Dakota, and New Mexico. So please
yes.
vote. If you're in one of those states and you don't vote, you have no excuse.
Exactamente. All right. So the headline, Judge, Trump can be deposed by Summer Zervos
mm-hmm.
in the lawsuit that she has against him. She's the former apprentice contestant that's suing him, as I believe, for defamation, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so Josh Gerstein says, he's from Politico, says, report from court this morning on future of former apprentice contestant suit against Trump. Judges moving it toward a Trump deposition unless New York's highest court steps in or SCOTUS, question mark?
Hmm.
So, he's also appealing. I just saw a tweet go by just a few minutes before you came on the air. He's appealing that the Twitter, he can't block people ruling.
Right. He's appealing.
So he,
he
appeals everything.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Our buddy David Atkins,
mm-hmm.
Who is a regular contributor to the Washington Monthly and writes for a bunch of other publications, he and his brother Dante. Okay, as he says. First let me read his first tweet. A gun nut, this is from David, a gun nut tried to get David Hogg killed by police with guns today,
yep.
all for daring to try to do something about gun deaths in America. As Dante Atkins, his brother, and B. Friedman, D.C., who is Brandon Friedman, have been emphasizing today, swatting isn't a prank. It's attempted murder. We need to treat it that way.
Yeah, what they do is they call in a fake report to, they did this to David Hogg's house, who lives in Coral Springs, where I live.
He does.
I told you, Parkland is right next door, and there are a lot of Coral Springs
yeah.
kids who go to school at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas.
I didn't realize they live right where you are, though. I mean,
yeah, he's not in my neighborhood, but he's in my town.
Wow.
So this was in Coral Springs, and they called in a report. I don't know what the report said, but it got the SWAT team out. It got helicopters going. It got the whole street covered with cops. People are like, freaking out. And it was a fake call. That's what
right.
swatting is.
Right. And it's resulted in death, and it's resulted in terror. It's terrorizing somebody
mm-hmm.
is what it is. So just wanted to alert everybody. This is a tweet from Politico that Keith Ellison is launching a bid for Minnesota Attorney General.
Yeah. They didn't say if he's going to step down.
It says Ellison won't leave Congress
okay.
immediately, but he will not run for re-election.
Wow.
He will also remain deputy chair of the DNC during his campaign.
He can remain deputy chair of the DNC even after. I mean, you don't have to be a member of Congress. In fact, it's unusual
right.
that
right.
The party chairs are in Congress. That was something that happened when Debbie Wasserman Schultz was there. But that's an unusual thing. I hope it's a good thing for him. I'm sure it's a good thing for Minnesota. I'm sorry to lose him from Congress.
I know. That's exactly what went through my head. I always get nervous when this happens. So not good. But good for, yeah. I mean, good in many ways, but I always get nervous when a congressperson leaves that we like. So,
yes.
All right. So Frank Conniff.
Uh-huh.
Author and funny person says Donald Trump grabs women by the pussy and he grabs children from their parents and puts them in cages. But sure, of course, your support for him is reasonable and based in morality.
Yes.
really?
Really?
How can the and his supporters justify everything the way he does? Well, these are illegals. They shouldn't. It serves them right. They were warned. They were told that if they came into this country, our attorney general told them that this would happen. Well, they didn't have to set up that rule, did they?
The whole thing is insane.
Crazy. It's disgusting. Ugh. Okay, Alexis Goldstein, who I love, uh-huh. ex-Wall Street techie, and now she's into financial reform advocacy, and she's a terrific spokesperson. She's quoting Manu Raju, who said McConnell cancels much of the Senate's August recess. First week in August, still expected to be recess. McConnell cites Democrats' historic obstruction for move, Merrick Garland. Though the Senate has rarely worked on a Friday this year, comes in on a Monday on Monday evenings and takes a recess every few weeks. So Alexa said, don't buy into the, quote, Congress needs work to work more hype. Every day they're in session is another day out. Healthcare, or she meant to say our healthcare and our courts are under attack.
Right. Well, the thing here is, one, that McConnell wants to get his judicial nominees through. He wants to ram them through. The other thing is he wants to keep very few, the only Republican incumbent senator who is running for re-election is Dean Heller in Nevada. Democrats have, I think, five. He wants to keep them stuck in Washington and unable to be on the campaign trail and in their districts and in their states campaigning. Yeah. So that's the other, reasoning behind this. Mitch McConnell's a creep.
Yeah, he really is. He's such a dirty player. He's always doing stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Merrick Garland. Okay. This is from the Hill Reporter. It says coming soon. I don't know why. It says hillreporter.com and it says coming soon, whatever. Here's their headline. Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham's advertisers are running for the door.
I saw something about that.
Yes. Let's see what it says. It says, as Fox News continues to play the role of state news network for President Donald Trump. Ooh, I hated saying that.
Yeah.
Major blue chip advertisers and even some smaller players are running for the door. A report for it's actually from Vanity Fair. A report from Gabriel Sherman in Vanity Fair has found that Fox News is struggling to sell advertising slots for both their 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. respective programs. I'm having trouble reading today. Hello. I'm asleep. My bad if I do that. But that's basically it right there. They're having trouble and gosh darn it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah.
All right. So here is from the Huckabee's White House lying session today.
Okay.
I came in late because, as you know, I try to make my puppy tired before I go on here so he doesn't bark and bug me and bite things. So he's asleep. And I came in just when Huckabee's said to the press that they were, quote, trying to tear me down.
Oh.
She just accused them of trying to tear her down because they were asking questions.
Oh,
it was hard.
Yeah, I didn't see the lying session today. I saw some of the comments on Twitter, and apparently she said, "You all know I'm an honest person."
Oh, I'm right
just
there.
Wondering,
I'm coming to that one.
Okay, I'm wondering how loud the laughter was in the room.
Oh, please! They didn't even need a laugh track on that one. So Kathleen Decker, who used to be with my LA Times, she's now with the Washington Post, and I miss her. But she said, she quoted, frankly, I think this is a BS. Frankly, I think my credibility is higher than the media's. Sarah Sanders said, following with criticism of reporters for criticizing false statements she has made from the podium.
Aye.
Yes, she said that she thinks she's more credible than they are.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then Josh Jossie has a quote from her. We look at ways every single day to unify our country.
See, that's the funny that it's not the funny that they're trying to elicit, but it's the funny that we get. Yeah.
Inadvertent humor.
Yes.
John Harwood of CNBC said White House Press Secretary Sanders praises the Supreme Court for upholding conservative Christians' right not to bake wedding cake for gay couple, but called NFL protests different because they disrespect the U.S. military and flag.
Oh, give me a break.
Okay, now I'm going to give you a run of Daniel Dale's thread from this. He did a whole rundown of it.
Okay.
He's with the Toronto Star.
Right.
I absolutely adore him. And here's what he said. quote, all these are quotes from him. Sarah Sanders says the Philadelphia Eagles pulled a, quote, political stunt by offering only a tiny handful of representatives to visit with Trump.
This is like how, you know, Mexico only gives us their rapists and murderers. It's not about giving us anything. These are the players who wanted to come, and there were less than 10 of them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Asked if she's aware that not a single member of the Eagles took a knee during the anthem, Sarah Sanders says, well, there were supposed to be 80 members of the Eagles coming, but then they changed their mind and, quote, the fans deserve better.
Yeah.
That's her answer. Asked if Trump risks alienating Pennsylvania voters with this, Sanders says she hopes Pennsylvanians, quote, would share the president's commitment to the national anthem and the pride that we have in our country. And then Daniel Dale says, this whole thing is just jaw-droppingly stupid and dishonest. Mm-hmm. I love him. Mm-hmm. And then he says, the excellent Josh Dossie is again pressing Sanders to explain why she said Trump didn't dictate the statement his lawyer said he dictated. Sanders again refuses to say anything, and she adds, I think you all know I'm an honest person.
Oh, God.
Do you want to throw up now or later?
Well,
let's throw up.
Okay. Just throw up in my mouth a little bit.
It's cleansing to do that. Mm-hmm. Sanders is now asked more broadly about Trump's incessant dishonesty. Sanders, quote, once again, I don't know how many times I have to address this, but I work every single day to give you accurate and up-to-date information. My credibility is probably higher than the media's. Asked about Malcolm Jenkins' statement about how the White House is dishonestly attempting to paint Eagles players as anti-military, Sanders just repeats her lines about how the Eagles pulled a, quote, political stunt.
Unreal.
Asked if Trump is going to host a Ramadan iftar, which he did not do last year, Sanders says, quote, he is hosting a dinner tomorrow evening with, quote, 30 to 40 people. Asked about I know, right? Uh-huh. Asked about Kudlow's statement about Trump wanting to split up NAFTA, Sanders says, quote, the president is open to having individual deals, but that the best option could still be NAFTA. She makes it sound like nothing much has changed, while Kudlow is suggesting something had. So he really said it was going to be two different deals with two different, you know, with Mexico, one
right,
with Canada.
Right.
Asked if Trump still thinks he deserves a 10 out of 10 for his response to Puerto Rico, despite an estimate that 5,000 people died, Sanders says the federal response was, quote, at a historic proportion. She doesn't address the death estimate, which again is an imprecise estimate, but he did throw paper towels. So, you know, what are we going to falter for?
Amazing.
I mean, please, 10 out of 10. Asked why Trump supporters, supports the speech of the Christian Baker, but not, did I read you this one? But not the protesting players. Sanders said, quote, the president doesn't think that this is an issue simply of free speech. He thinks it's about respecting the men and women of our military, about respecting our national anthem. It's so full of shit. I can't believe. Okay. And then finally, asked if Trump's aware the protests are about policing, Sanders says, quote, the president has made his position crystal clear on this topic, and, quote, more than 70% of Americans agree with him.
Oh, God.
She calls April Ryan rude for insisting she answer that this as she tried to call on someone else. And as I tweeted, she tried to shut her up. She basically said, I'm paraphrasing, I've had enough from you. I'm going to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
She did not say those words,
right,
but she might as well have.
Yeah.
So those were from today.
Before you move on, and Vermont Gina just posted this one in the chat room as well. I just found it. Tim Furlong, who's a TV reporter, tweeted out, you know, they had the celebration at the White House instead of the Eagles ceremony. It was the Celebration of America event where allegedly 1,000 Eagles fans were invited to take part. And that's who this was supposed to be an insult at, that only, you know, less than 10 of the players decided they wanted to appear. Mm-hmm. So Tim Furlong from that event tweets, I've asked six of the, quote, fans at the White House who was the Eagles quarterback during the Super Bowl. Not one person knew.
Of course. Oh, my God. He probably paid them $50 each to come, mm-hmm, like he did at his
or their,
announcement.
Or their staffers. Or at his announcement, he definitely did pay people.
Yeah, he did. Yep. Yeah, he paid and gave them T-shirts. From yesterday now.
Mm-hmm.
Now are the day-old ones. T-Pain, our buddy T-Pain, who just is wonderful on Twitter, he said, if Barack Obama had said he could pardon himself, Republicans would have bought up every sheet at JCPenney. CNN's Manu Raju said, Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley just told me this, quote, if I were president of the United States and I had a lawyer that said I could pardon myself, I think I'd hire a new lawyer.
You mean this? This?
If I were president of the United States and I had a lawyer that told me I could pardon myself, I think I'd hire a new lawyer.
There you go.
That very one. And that has been played ad nauseum all morning, and as it should be. But of course, you know, Chuck Grassley will say stuff like that, and that's good. But then when it comes down to, well, will you back us on, you know, something like, say, impeachment when it comes to, you know, the Senate? No, we stand by our guy.
But I have to wonder if Trump did try to do something ridiculous, like pardon himself, if that might be the time when some of them say, okay, now it's time to put country ahead of party.
I think maybe some would, like you just said, some. I'm not sure enough would, though. I really am not sure enough would. Somebody said, I don't remember who it was commentating yesterday. I don't remember even if it was a commentator or a Congress member, but they were saying so many of the, you know, more establishment members are leaving Congress. That's going to leave all the extremists coming in. So if it, and that includes both the Senate and the House from time to time, you know, we get the extremists coming in. Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to something like impeachment and having to convict, would there be enough sort of normal Republicans that would?
I don't know.
That's the problem.
I don't know.
Ugh.
I don't think so. I think the old guard, the old school ones, that's why I think Grassley, perhaps. McCain, but who knows how much longer he'll be there. You know, there are some who probably would because of the, you know, the history, the country that would be brought down.
I would hope so, but I really don't know anymore, and that's what bothers me. Vermont Gina in our chat room said, April Ryan just tweeted, breaking, reporters on the South Lawn have confirmed Trump was heckled and booed when he came out to celebrate America.
Really? Wow.
La, 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 la. Okay, that was me doing neener nanner. okay, so on the SCOTUS decision in favor of, quote, religious freedom, the discriminated against gay customers, the baker, and blah, 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 LOL GOP said, if you don't think this is part of a long-term strategy to undermine the LGBT advances of the last few years, ask a poor woman trying to exercise her reproductive rights in a red state.
Yep. True.
This is scary as hell.
It is scary.
I'm getting, and all these judges coming in who are going to be in for decades. I mean, he's choosing young ones.
Yep. So that they'll live longer.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll all get impeached somehow. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Sherilyn Eiffel of the NAACP said SCOTUS did not rule that Baker's refusal to bake cake for same-sex couple was constitutional. Court ruled that the Colorado Human Rights Commission tribunal that ruled against the baker in Masterpiece Cake Shop was not neutral but hostile to the claim. Baker was entitled to impartial decision maker. So, in other words, you know, this narrow ruling, it wasn't about the constitutionality of it. It was a more narrow.
It was just applying to this case, which is surprising that the Supreme Court took it up at all, because they usually deal with cases that set precedents. In this case, they didn't set a precedent. It just dealt with this one case. Didn't answer any other questions for the florist or, you know, DJ who you know, may not want to cater or do their thing at a gay wedding.
Right. Okay. K Grow X, our buddy, I would bring out somebody completely different and just say she was Melania just to see what got reported. Everybody was, you know, Twitter can get so stupid sometimes, and they can get really funny other times. They can get really annoying too. Everybody was saying, oh, it was because she had plastic surgery. Do they really think that would be a secret? I mean, she's had enough where, you know, everyone knows she's had.
Right. But she doesn't want to come out. Why else would she be out of public view for 23 days? I was in the hospital for cancer. I had half a lung removed and I wasn't in the hospital as long as she was.
Right. Well, I don't know if she was in the hospital that long.
Well, she was in the hospital for like 4 days.
Yeah, right. But then after that.
Right. And then after that, she was out of sight for a long time.
That's the big question. The 4 day thing was already a question mark, because that implied that it was something more serious than what they were saying.
Yep.
But it was the long stretch where she disappeared after that. And so that's why I was saying, well, why wouldn't she just admit to having cosmetic surgery? She's had it. So
yep.
What's the big deal? Anyway.
I don't know.
Sasha Boucher, a random person, said, if the president truly is above the law, that means that all the shit they accused Obama of doing, of Clinton of doing, was perfectly legal, right?
No, because it's only okay if you're a Republican.
Oh, really?
Yeah, don't you know the rule?
I forgot.
Yeah, sorry.
Short attention span, yep. Yeah. Hmm. Okay, so Brad Parscale, who is Trump's new campaign guy, mm-hmm. He used to be his digital guy, now mm-hmm. He's a campaign guy, mm-hmm. He tweeted out, 1 out of 8 circuit court judges in America have been appointed by Trump. He's changing the courts and reestablishing the rule of law for generations to come, which is what you and I were just saying. And Jane Mayer tweeted, why elections matter.
Right. Right.
People poo-poo this all the time, and it drives me nuts. They come out with reasons saying, no, I mean, it doesn't, you know, the Supreme Court, no, that's because it would just be replacing a different guy. No, and no, we'll get judges in, and it's okay. No, it's not okay.
No,
you
it's
have
not
to
okay.
Vote.
And this is why it's important, even if it's not your ideal Democrat, they're not progressive
right.
enough. The primaries right now is when you vote for the most progressive person you can find to get real progressives in there. Once we get to the general election, that's why it's important you vote for whoever has a D next to their name, especially now while Trump is in the White House, because we got to get some of this power away from him. If we get some of the power away from him, if we take back control of this, if the Democrats take back control of the Senate, then they can't shove through all of these nominees. It's why they were able to block Obama's nominees. It's not that he didn't try to get judges appointed. It's that Mitch McConnell stopped them because he was right. the Senate majority leader.
Exactly. But we're having some trouble getting the Senate. I'm not so sure we're going to win the Senate at
no,
all.
No, nor am I. I'm not sure we're going to win the House.
I'm not either.
I really worry about it. Everybody's got to vote.
I totally agree.
And in the general, you got to vote for the Democrat.
Right. And what you call it, Ted Cruz is now ahead of, what's his name, Beto? Is that his
Beto
name?
Beto O'Rourke. He's been ahead of Beto O'Rourke.
But now by 11 instead of by 3.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. That wasn't very accurate. But yeah, he's pulled ahead is what I should mm-hmm. have said. Rabbi Jill Zimmerman, in caps, MSNBC, what are you doing? And then normal. Jeff Merkley couldn't visit detained kids, Puerto Rico deaths, Trump saying he can pardon himself, families still being separated at the border. And 12 minutes in on Craig Melvin, you are still talking Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
I am so disappointed in you. Get a grip.
Well, it's because they had the interview. You know, it was theirs
right.
exclusively. It's right. It's bullshit. And instead of dealing with real news. Do I think Bill Clinton made an ass of himself? Yes. But what mm-hmm. else is new? He needs
right.
to just go away. And sorry, take his wife with him. Just retire. Enjoy your golden years. Enjoy your grandchildren. Go away.
Well, you know, I didn't see the follow-up because I'm seeing in the chat room that he came back today and sort of half-heartedly apologized. Is
Did
that
he?
Right?
I don't know.
I heard it quickly, and then I forgot to look it up. But I want to go back to what you were saying. You know, every time Bill Clinton has gone out in the last few years, he's gotten himself into trouble,
yep.
gone out to help the Democrats. He lost his touch. He's giving the Republicans more fuel than he's giving us support. So, yes, I think he needs to be quiet.
Yeah. Yep.
Unfortunately, that's too bad, but that's the way it is.
It is too bad. Yeah.
Okay, so Kagro X again. He said, well, at least the next president can overturn all of Trump's actions by executive order and shoot all his judges.
Well, of course he can.
Because that's the way it is now.
Right.
It's okay now. We
yeah,
can do that.
He can shoot somebody.
I can't wait. If only I had a gun.
Well, you can't because you're not president. He can.
I don't care. I'm saying I can.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's what we can do now. Trump tweeted, this is the best time ever to look for a job. James Freeman of the Wall Street Journal had tweeted that.
That was a
wait,
quote.
No, I'm sorry. That's a quote. Yes. From James Freeman. And then Ed Asner replied, well, I hope this includes you.
Yes, please.
Please do. Go look for a job, any
yes.
job, not this one. Any job out of the public eye, please. Okay, so Mark Joseph Stern is a lawyer, and he tweeted, LGBTQ advocacy, I don't know what's wrong with me today, advocacy groups are framing Masterpiece Cake Shop as a narrow loss for gay rights, a huge threat to gay rights, an affirmation of non-discrimination law. So far, every anti-gay group I've seen has framed it as a massive victory for religious freedom over LGBTQ rights. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a good ruling, but it could have been so much worse.
And it could have been a lot better, too.
A lot better.
Yeah.
I hated the ruling. When I read it, when the headline came out, I was really upset. That and the ruling about the immigrant teen who got the abortion, they ruled against. Do you know how that one went? I can't remember there's more to it than what I'm saying.
I don't have the specifics. All I know is they ruled against her. They ruled with the Trump administration.
Right. But there was more to it, and I wish I could remember, but I can't. Okay. Sarah Kendzior said, Trump shuns press conferences for Twitter. Twitter is a one-sided medium that gets the press to repeat what are essentially slogans all day. The slogans are lies. If you're going to quote the slogans, specify immediately that they are lies, or else you are enabling propaganda. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Well, that's how he wins his PR war.
Right. Mm-hmm. It gets put in print over and over. It gets quoted over and over. And the comebacks aren't getting the same press. So there you go.
Right.
Ross Story tweeted, publishers are, quote, backing off Don Jr.'s book because they worry he might be charged. Significant publishers are doing that.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is this? A Politico headline, Inside Trump's Snub of the Philadelphia Eagle, something about BS, and I just missed it. Darn it, it went away. Oh, tell me if you get the breaking news, okay?
Okay.
Something about he finally said it, and I clicked over, and they had a different headline. Oh, I hate when they do that. Huckabee S. repeated, the president hasn't done anything wrong, like, oh, God, yesterday, 1,000 times. Honestly, at the White House lying session, I made a tweet that just said that over and over again. The president hasn't done anything wrong. The president hasn't done anything wrong. And Bruce Fulton, a follower, said, that's why he's floating self-pardoning, because he'll totes never have to use it. He never did anything wrong.
Right.
He'll never have to, because he doesn't do, he'll never have to pardon himself, because he never did anything wrong. Oh, my God. You should have heard her yesterday. I don't know if you did. Did you?
No. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, she said it over and over again.
That's all she said. So my follower said that's why he's floating self-pardoning, because he'll totes never have to use it.
Gotcha.
Our friend Jackie Schechner said, Sarah Sanders' official stance is what she does not have to is that she does not have to explain why she lied to the public from the White House podium. Somehow the outside counsel is the authority on why he lied. Press secretaries' briefings are a complete waste of time. If she can't or won't explain why she personally lied, or why a special counsel is unconstitutional for Trump but not for Clinton, what's the point of putting her in front of a mic to answer questions?
Good question.
Two more.
Good question.
Blue by Design tweeted, for someone who hasn't done anything wrong, he seems awfully worried about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gets defensive a lot, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Tweets a lot about his defensiveness.
Yep.
And finally, Jim Acosta said, as expected, press secretary referred questions about her own false statements about Trump Tower meeting to outside legal counsel. Mm-hmm. Perhaps one of the biggest dodges in briefing room history.
Right. There is that.
Now, something people are noticing, and that is yesterday and today, the press is suddenly getting a spine.
Is it?
They're starting to question and call these things out as lies.
Well, it's about time. Hopefully. They'll continue.
But they're doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that's a big, if they continue, because today was a big deal. Yesterday and today, they were saying, well, yeah, but if you're going to lie about stuff, and he's going to say something, and then you're going to dispute it, and then, you know, they're really starting to find their voice, I guess, and they're sounding more indignant. They're sounding more aggressive, and I hope that continues.
Well, that's our only defense. I mean, that's what the Fourth Estate is there for. That's why Trump does his best to delegitimize the press. We can't let that happen.
Right. Exactly.
So,
a day.
With that, we are done for the day. Got a laugh again with us every Tuesday. for her tweet spot. Find Laffy Gotta Laugh on Twitter and at laffysplace.com at NicoleSandler.com. Tomorrow on the show, Laffy, we have Tim Wise.
Oh, I love Tim Wise.
Tim Wise is great, and I figured it was time for a conversation on this program about racism because, you know, with everything going on, we are being catapulted backwards. It's a conversation that needs to be had as often as possible. All right.
And his take is different, so everybody should be listening.
Most definitely. Thanks, Laffy. And thank you. We'll see you tomorrow right here at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.